नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तद् अभिज्ञो अपि भगवान् सर्वात्मा सर्वदर्शन प्रश्रयावनन्तो प्रश्रयावनन्तो प्रीच्छाद् वृद्धान् नन्दा पुरोगमम् तपाद्भिज्ञोऽपि भगवान् सर्वात्मा सर्वदर्शनः प्रश्रयावनन्तो प्रीच्छाद् वृद्धान्नन्दपुरोगमान् तदभिज्ञोऽपि भगवान् सर्वात्मा सर्वदर्शनः प्रश्रयावनतो पृच्छाद् वृद्धान्नन्दपुरोगमान् tad-abhigya, being full in knowledge about it. Api, although, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, sarva-atma, the super-soul within everyone's heart, sarva-darshanaha, the omniscient personality of Godhead, Prashraya avanata, bowing down humbly. Aprichat, he inquired, Vridhan, from the elders, Nandapura Gaman, headed by Maharaj Nanda. Translation: being the omniscient supersoul, the Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation. Yet he still humbly inquired from the elders, headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. Purport: Lord Krishna was eager to enact his pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill and defeating the false pride of Indra, and thus he cleverly inquired from his father about the imminent sacrifice. So Krishna comes to this world to perform pastimes with his devotees, interact with his devotees. There's not actually any other reason to come. He'll say he'll come to establish dharma, to get rid of the adharma. But that is only so then he can, those persons then will become elevated, and in the future they themselves will also become devotees. So the whole purpose is just to associate with devotees. Because the devotee is inspired to serve Krishna, but then as they get more and more close to Krishna, they become more and more inspired. So to go to Vrindavan, one has to be completely inspired. There cannot be any personal motive. It has to be completely out of one's affection for Krishna. One can get liberation because of his ill feelings towards the experience in the material world. One can get to Vaikuntha because that is there, plus then you want to be with the Lord, you know, in some particular situation. But in Vrindavan, it's a matter of that one wants to please Krishna. That's all. He is so nice. One is so overwhelmed by his wonderful nature, his affectionate nature, that one simply wants to please him. So this makes the process of going to Vrindavan very fine. very important. So the Lord is coming here so that he can perform the pastimes, that then devotees can be attracted to these pastimes in Vrindavan. Because when one hears about them, or one sees them, or takes part in them, then one becomes greatly inspired to deepen that relationship with Krishna. So here, then, Krishna is coming to perform these wonderful pastimes. So it's not a matter of he's come and he gets some pleasure out of being God. He's already God anyway, and he's self-satisfied. So that's not what gives him pleasure. He doesn't have to prove that he's God. Right? The living entity, they have the tendency that if something is going correctly, something's going nicely, they have good intelligence, good facility, or things are happening for them the way they like them to happen, or the way they planned, they actually want others to see that, others to recognize it. Right? Generally, yes, it's always that they want to be recognized for what is happening. That's because they are not actually the doer. It never works the way they want it. So this time, strangely enough, it is working how you wanted it, and they want everybody to see and take the credit that this is me. I am doing this, it's happening, so everybody should see. So that's because the living entity is not the controller, is not the enjoyer, and so therefore it's not a normal situation that things would go how you wanted and you actually are happy. It's not a normal situation in the material world. So if such a situation comes up, people want to take full credit for it and get full recognition for it. But Krishna is God, and he doesn't have to prove it to anybody. There's no need. Whatever he wants, it happens. He's satya-sankalpa, he wants it to happen, it happens. So there's no need for him to prove that. What gives him pleasure is the interaction between himself and his devotees. That gives him happiness. That gives him satisfaction. Therefore, even though here he's the omniscient super soul, he knows everything. He actually is carrying out everything. Even they're arranging the sacrifices coming because he's sanctioned it. So he already knows everything. But that's not the point. Just knowing everything is not enough for him. Doesn't give him satisfaction. What Krishna wants is to interact with his devotees. Right? So that is his purpose. Then we see that here he is, even though he understands the situation, he's humbly inquiring. Because this is the process. The Lord performs his pastimes, and he has a way he likes to do things. He appreciates associating with devotees in a certain way. That's why there's a standard for devotees, that how they will deal, then he appreciates that. We find that for any situation, one has to have some qualification to be in it. Otherwise, others in that situation don't appreciate. You don't speak properly, don't behave properly, or dress properly, like this, act properly, then they don't want you in that assembly. So Krishna, he likes to be in the association of devotees who have all wonderful qualities. And we see here that he himself, this is how he likes to deal. He likes to deal very nicely and properly and humbly with those who are senior to him. That is the position. Right? So this is how God acts. And by seeing this, and by seeing how Nanda Maharaj and the others will act, then one becomes inspired to also act in this way. And then one can learn how to become a resident of Vrindavan. Because unless one develops these qualities of humility, then one will not attain Vrindavan. Attaining Vrindavan means that you are taking up the mood of those who live in Vrindavan. And we see the mood of the residents of Vrindavan is very gentle, very sweet, very wonderful. And we see that Krishna, he also deals like that. He is dealing like this because they draw this from him. He is the Vishai. So Vishai means enjoyer. Vishaya is the reservoir of all the, he is the reservoir of all the various rasas, all the various tastes. And so he can reciprocate, since every quality is there in him, he can reciprocate with anybody according to any quality, any activity. So if you come before him as a big demon like Hiranyakashipu, then he reacts accordingly. He reciprocates accordingly. You come before him like the demigods praying for various things and that, he reciprocates accordingly. Or here, because Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan, they deal very gently and nicely, then he deals accordingly. This draws this rasa from him, this dealings from him. So that Krishna is dealing like this, we see is because this is how Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men, they are dealing. And naturally, as the child, he deals in this way because then it draws a particular reaction from his father. So this is etiquette. This is the proper behavior. And this is how the pastimes go on. Otherwise, where is the rasa? Right? It's just, I want to get something done. And getting it done, that's the perfection. But if we look at it, that's good, it's nice. But where are the people involved? Where is the relationship? Where is the rasa? Right? So then when the standard is you get done whatever you have to do, deal with anybody however you have to deal with, get done what you want. Then once you've gotten it, then we interact with others to get their appreciation. Right? See what I've done. And they all look, oh yes, so nice, very rare to see this. Very special. But in the process, we may not be very personal. So we see that our motive for working and also our motive for interacting with others is not so much for relationships, but is simply to be appreciated, simply to be the center of activities. So that is why the material relationships don't really give much satisfaction, don't give a very deep taste. If they're done for materialistic purposes. Because materialism means I am the controller and enjoyer, therefore I am creating the situation, I'm controlling the situation, I'm getting the result, and I am enjoying that result. So then it really leaves everybody else out of the picture, unless they are part of the result or part of the enjoyment. So it's not actually personal. Material relationships in this world are not actually personal. That to that degree that there is some cooperation, to that degree then there it's less rough, less disturbing. But we see here is on the spiritual platform, the transcendental platform, then the only thing of interest is the relationships. The other things aren't so important. The other things aren't so important. We see the whole thing here. Indra is proud. Indra is Krishna's servant. The master must correct the servant. That shows the intimacy. Sometimes it is thought that this correction means that the authority does not like us. But actually it's because they like you that they are dealing. Right? This is the standard. Because they have some relationship, therefore they don't want to see that you do improperly, because improperly will not give you a good result. So for your benefit, then one is corrected. This is the purpose. Because otherwise, so many people are doing so much nonsense, no one's caring. Right? They can all go to hell, who cares? But those who are dependents, then one must care for them, one must guide them, correct them. So Indra then is one of the more important of all the servants within the universal hierarchy. He is the manager of all the managers. So therefore, he wants to see that he does not become overly proud of his position. Because the position, the potency of Indra has come from Krishna. And he is simply there to see that it happens. Because so many living entities, they want to enjoy this world, they want to live here, they want to interact here. So someone has to manage it so that the facility is there to interact. Right? So that one can have that opportunity to perform one's religious activities and be elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So if it's not well managed, then it becomes very difficult. So management becomes an important part of people's spiritual advancement. Sometimes it is thought, well, management is not spiritual. Well, either is breathing. So we should give up management or institutions because they're not spiritual. So we should give up breathing also. It's not spiritual. Right? Sleeping is not spiritual. That should be given up. Right? You're taking prasad, okay. But then honoring prasad, you just need one grain. That's all. Why are you eating so much? Right? Right? But then one will say, well, if I don't eat, then I can't perform my service. I don't sleep, I don't perform my service. Or I don't breathe, I can't perform my service. If you don't manage, then you can't perform your service either. Right? If this wasn't managed, that people are walking on the other side of that rope, there would be no class. People would walk through everywhere and be shouting and yelling. There would be no class. So without management, there is no movement. If you want to go yourself, one person, sit under a tree, or maybe you have a few close associates and you sit under a tree or sit in close by trees, okay. But if you want to establish something big, something dynamic, it needs management. So it is just as valuable as breathing. So the universal affairs are important, because then if the universe is managed properly, then people tend to be pious, and when they're pious, they tend to turn to God when they have problems. And that turning to God, that is the perfection of the whole thing. If people just surrender to God, all the management, all the endeavor, all everything was worthwhile. So that is the point. So Indra is in charge of this, and he's become proud. If he's proud, everyone else will become proud, and then they think they're the doer, and then their relationship with Krishna becomes ruined. And then everybody else who's their followers becomes ruined. Right? Things start from the top and go down. Right? Nanda Baba behaves nicely, Krishna's behaving this way. Indra behaves nicely, then the other demigods behave nicely. The demigods are behaving nicely, then the human beings are behaving nicely. Right? They behave nicely, the animals behave nicely, everything happens nicely. But if he's not, then you got problem. So he has to be corrected. So therefore, Krishna is interested to perform these activities for the purpose of correcting. And then his devotees in Vrindavan, they're performing all these activities and being distracted. They have to worship Indra or different things. No, but he wants to put it so that they worship him, because he is the perfection for them. Right? Whatever is there in any of the demigods has come from him. But in relationship to the demigods, it's not so attractive. Right? It's just business. But with Krishna, it's not business, because Krishna has nothing to gain. He has nothing. The demigod wants to be respected, likes to be in the seat of power, likes to organize. So Krishna engages them that way. They're devotees, so they're engaged. But for the residents of Vrindavan, these are his intimate associates. That's another story. So therefore, they have all these wonderful, wonderful qualities. So their focus is just on him. Their interaction is with him. And they will get the best benefit by interacting with Krishna alone and not with the demigods. What reciprocation Indra is going to give? Right? Gives a little rain, but what about relationship? Nothing. Right? Very little. But with Krishna, then the sweetness, the exchange is so nice. So instead of wasting the time on the demigods, they could be spending the time interacting with Krishna. So the whole idea is to create that interaction between the Lord and his devotees. So, yes. Like that. Any questions on this? No? Okay. So the next verse. Katyatam me pita koyam sambhramo va upagata kim phalam kasya vodesha kena va sadyate makha. Lord Krishna said, my dear father, kindly explain to me what this great endeavor of yours is all about. What is it meant to accomplish? If this is a ritual sacrifice, then for whose satisfaction is it intended? And by what means is it going to be executed? Etat bruhi mahan kamo mahyam shushrushave pita nahi gopyam hi sadhunam krityam sarvatmanam iha astyasva paradrishtinam amrito dashta vidvisham. Please tell me about it, O Father. I have a great desire to know and am ready to hear in good faith. Certainly no secrets are to be kept by saintly personalities who see all others as equal to themselves, who have no conception of mine or another's, and who do not consider who is a friend and who is an enemy and who is neutral. Purport. Lord Krishna's father might have thought that his son was a mere child and thus could not properly question the validity of a Vedic sacrifice. But the Lord's clever statement here would certainly have convinced Nanda that Sri Krishna was making a serious, not whimsical, inquiry, and that a serious answer should thus be given. So here's another aspect of the etiquette, is that one has a question, but having a question is not enough. You have to prove that you're worth giving an answer to. Right? Nowadays, it's like, I have something to say, but you have to prove that you're worth even giving an answer to. Right? Just because you have something to say, does that make it important? Right? Unlimited living entities, because you have some, everybody has something to say. So, okay, everybody say something at once. Yes, go for it. Yes, let's see how nice. No. There's no reciprocation. So therefore, because of this, we see material civilization does not prosper. And if it does, it's simply because they follow the reflection of these etiquettes that Krishna gives. Right? We have a desire. We have something to say. We want to know. That's not enough. We have to prove that we're worthy of it. Right? Knowledge is opulence. Right? You want money, you have to work for it. You want money, you go out, you get a job, you do some business, you do something, you do some work that proves that you are worthy to get the opulence of wealth. Knowledge is also an opulence. You want it, you have to prove that you're worthy of it. You have to work for it. Tadviri pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. There must be service. There must be submissive inquiry. There must be the desire to know. Just because you have something to say doesn't mean it's worth saying. People are tolerant. Okay, say it. Doesn't mean it's worth an answer. Because there has to be a desire to know first. Then there has to be a submissive inquiry. Otherwise, then, what is the relationship? You have something to say, and then they have something to say back. And all that is egos against egos. There's no reciprocation between the persons. Right? It's just something to inspire, get the bile moving. So there's nothing. There's no exchange of knowledge here. Unless you want to know, no one is going to speak in a nice way that you get to know. So that's the point, is if you want to know, you must inquire in such a way that the other person understands you actually want to know. And then you will get a proper answer. So we have to be qualified ourselves. So in the last verse we see Nanda Baba is qualified. So therefore we see Krishna is then dealing in this way. It's natural. If the father is qualified, the son becomes qualified. But that doesn't mean that then it doesn't continue like this. Then the son deals in a qualified way. Then the father deals and it increases. It develops. Right? Things are supposed to develop and increase, not just be static. Once the father dealt nicely, now for eternity the son should deal nicely. No. It's going on. It has to go on like this. It has to develop. It has to increase. So Krishna then behaves properly here. And he wants to know, what are you working for? Right? Kindly explain. I mean, you don't have to explain. But it's your kindness to me that I have a desire to know. Fulfilling a desire, that's kindness. Right? It's considered kindness. So, like this, that someone, you wanted something and somebody arranged for that, that's kindness. right? And then that gives the reciprocation of gratefulness. Right? These are symptoms of intelligence, right? And proper dealings. If one is kind to those who are dependents, and they appreciate it, they are grateful, they reciprocate. That is a sign of intelligence, right? This is the, because you were benefited. This person benefited. They didn't have to benefit it, but they did. Therefore, for that benefit, that's always there. I always have to be grateful. I always have to deal properly. So we see Krishna here. Kindly explain, right? What is this great endeavor? It's something very big. He's not just saying, "Hey, what are you guys doing here?" No, you're doing a great endeavor. He's recognizing their work. They're doing something big. So he's recognizing. He's not just going, "Oh, this is nonsense." No, it's recognized. You're doing a big endeavor, so there must be some purpose, right? Nanda Baba is not a fool. He was a fool, okay, then you just say, what is... But he's recognized. You're doing something, so you must have thought about it. To make an endeavor, there must be thinking. There must be some desire to accomplish something. One must have thought about what he wants to accomplish and that this process is going to get the result that I want. So a lot of thought has gone into this endeavor. And he can see it's very great. It's not just Nanda Baba alone. So many cowherd men are there. So some great endeavor is there. Something's happening. So he's recognizing this. He's not just coming in, "Well, actually I'm the super soul. I know everything that's going on here. And, you know, I got to get this Indra. And you guys just happen to be the persons I'm going to do it through. And so, you know, let's just move it on here. You know, can you tell me what it is? Because I got my lines to say here, you know." No. He's actually, it's the whole process, the taste of interacting and all that, that is there. One may say, this is not practical, right? It's too much. Why don't we just get to the essence? What's the essence? Sense gratification? I'm God? I'm the center of attention? What is the essence? I don't want to deal with others. I don't want to reciprocate with others. So what's the essence? Right? I got things to do, places to go, people to see. For what? What's the bottom line? Right? What do people want? Do they actually want the wealth? Are they looking for the beauty? Are they looking for everything? People are trying to make themselves so beautiful for what? So they can look in the mirror all day? No, they want someone else to look at it. They want so much wealth for what? Just so they can sit there with their pockets full of money? No, so they can spend it on other people and they can appreciate and there's a relationship, right? What do they want their car and their house for? Just so they can sit in it? They love their house? Yes, such a nice house. No, because they want others to be in the house with them. So the whole purpose is relationship. No one's actually interested in all these other things. But because of illusion, they think that's what it is. They think the house makes me happy, the money makes me happy, all these things. No, it's the relationship makes us happy. And until that's understood, neither material or spiritual life will work. It's that simple. Nirvisesha shunyavadi, right? He didn't say karma or other things. Nirvisesha shunyavad. The impersonal. It's void or it's impersonal. These are the problems, right? I am God, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So therefore, what's the need of others except to enjoy? So it's a one-way street. So therefore, even we are looking for the relationships don't work. They don't give us satisfaction because it's one way. Oh, my wife didn't do this, my husband didn't do this, friend didn't do this, this one didn't do that. It's always someone else. Right? Always someone else's problem. Someone else's. The reason the relationship doesn't work is because the other person doesn't understand my supreme dominion over all and that I'm the center of all attention. Right? Maybe they behave badly. Yes, it's according to Shastra, they shouldn't have behaved like that. So I'm right. Yes, okay, I'm right. That's good. But what's the essence of this rightness? Is that it should have been like this because then I will enjoy. Right? So all this talk, dharma, this, that, so many things, it was right, wrong, justice. It's simply to prove I am the center. That's all. It's not actually that we're worried about justice or we're worried about dharma. We're worried about what's the bottom line, what am I getting out of it? So then this creates a problem. So then relationships don't go deeply. They can't go deeply. How they'll go deeply? Right? How they'll go deeply? It's all, if it's based on sense gratification, if it's based on selfishness, how deep can the relationship go? Right? We call it intimate if I can fulfill more of my desires with another person. Then I call it intimate. But that intimacy or my dependence or my attachment to the other person is based on how much they fulfill my desires. And when they're not filling my desires, then their relationship breaks. Right? It's not happening anymore. Oh, it used to happen. Now it's not happening. You know, it's not, something's wrong now. Things have changed. Right? They're a different person. Right? That means I can't get out of them what I was getting before. Right? They used to speak sweetly. I liked the nice, sweet speaking. Or they used to give money. I liked the money. They used to do this and that. I like all these things. And now they're not doing, so it's changed. It's different. So therefore it breaks. Right? So if we go deeply, we find this is what's behind any material interaction. Any, from the top to the bottom. Most religious down to the most impious. Everything's based on this. So the Vedic, the spiritual culture is not. Spiritual culture is something else. It's based on the affection of the devotee for Krishna and Krishna for the devotee. So it's free from this. The devotee simply wants to see Krishna happy. Krishna simply wants to see the devotee happy. Therefore, it's something different. Something very different. And this is the natural, this is the culture in which they perform their activities of love for Krishna. They love Krishna, and they act, they show that love through this culture, this gentle culture. Right? So, that is what Krishna's come to taste. That interaction between himself and his devotees based on pure love following this culture. So that's actually what he comes for. Secondary is establishing that culture, the spiritual culture in the material world by which proper interaction between living entities goes on. Though it may be completely materialistic why they're doing it, but at least they're following the spiritual culture. So that's called the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture is the spiritual culture that is being performed, but without knowledge of God. Right? So we see Duryodhana will act according to the culture. So even though he's a demon, right? Or Jarasandha is a demon, he's still, when Krishna comes as Brahmins, he receives them as Brahmins, treats them as Brahmins, hosts them as his guests. He follows the etiquette. Oh, he could easily come at night and kill them when they're sleeping or, you know, throw them out. No, he follows all the... Then nice reciprocation goes on. Krishna's pastimes can go on in the environment of the Vedic culture. Right? So, but the difference is, Vedic culture means you follow this spiritual culture but without love for God. And spiritual culture means following the spiritual culture with love of God. This is the difference. Therefore, we see Prabhupada's always recommending the Vedic culture. Krishna himself has come to establish the Vedic culture. He follows it, his devotees follow it, everybody follows it. Because it is the culture. Right? And here we see that for the materialists to keep them busy, then Krishna adds on added things to the culture that are not so useful. If you're not worshiping God, you have to worship somebody. Right? The principle of worship has to be there. So, okay, you're not worshiping Krishna, you worship Indra or Varuna or Durga or Shiva or somebody. Principle must be there. So, here we see Krishna's then removing those parts of the culture that have manifested in the material world out of need for uplifting the conditioned souls. Those parts are dropped. Right? So that is the speciality. The Vaishnav culture already drops so much of the Vedic culture that's meant for the materialists, the karmis and the jnanis. Then as residents, aspiring residents of Vrindavan, then there's other more aspects that are dropped. But the whole culture is not dropped. It's not what I like to do, I do. So yes, do we see the gopis do just what they like to do? Right? That's called spontaneous devotional service. I just do whatever the heck I like, and Krishna better like it. Right? Krishna has to accept me for what I am, because I am the way I am, so I can't do anything about it. Right? No. We have to please Krishna. So therefore we act according to how Krishna wants it done. I want to do like this. No, but Krishna wants it done like that. So which of the two is more important? How Krishna likes it or how we like it? So logically we can understand, okay, it's better how Krishna likes it. That is called Vaidhi. Krishna likes it this way, so I'm doing it that way because it's supposed to be done this way. Right? The rule is this, I'm following the rule, right? I should be religious, I should do, I'm doing. Spontaneous devotional service is, I'm following this rule because Krishna likes the rule like this. He likes it like this. That's spontaneous. And then that matures into just the love for Krishna gives rise to automatically manifesting this kind of behavior. Right? It can, in the conditioned state, we have to follow a process, an external process, because that brings the consciousness in line. When the consciousness is in line, it automatically manifests this pure culture in its pure state. Right? So we see this process, this development between following the rules because you should follow them, to following the rules because it pleases Krishna. This is how he likes it done. Right? He likes it like that. So we do it like that. And then this develops. And then that will mature into pure love for Krishna, if one keeps association, one follows this example that Krishna gives here, one studies Bhagavatam, follows Bhagavatam, lives Bhagavatam, preaches Bhagavatam, thinks about Bhagavatam, then one will attain the state that these devotees that are described in Bhagavatam, the residents of Vrindavan, how they attained. The last point here is that we'll mention is that he has a great desire to know and ready to hear in good faith. Because faith is the basis of progress. If you have faith, it progresses. No faith, it doesn't progress. Even materialists, it's because they have great faith in what they're endeavoring for, that by their endeavor they will get it, and by receiving the results they will be happy. It's that faith that makes them work. Right? So without faith, one gets nothing. So one can't be faithless and think that one's going to get something. So here, with great faith, one good faith one has to have. Krishna said this, it must be right. The Acharyas have said it, Srila Prabhupada has said it, it must be right. So that faith must be there, that we're taking in faith. But it's not blind faith. One is studied, one's seen, yes, result is there. Process is there. It's intelligent. It's well mapped out. It's progressive. It's dynamic. Okay, then we do it. Others have gotten result. So therefore, if I have that faith, then we will also get the result. So if we have faith in the process that Krishna gives, then we will get the result. Another definition of prema is mature faith. Right? Any questions or comments or anything on this? Or no? Yes? No? Yes?
Hare Krishna, how maintain any quality achieved, attained on the spiritual path? How maintain that qualities? How not to lose grasped qualities, how not to lose any quality we got with on the spiritual path.
How to maintain qualities. So, see, a quality has different aspects. It has good and bad, how it's applied. So spiritual means it's good, material means it's bad. Like that. So that's an important thing to understand, is that many times we hear somebody has some bad qualities. And you always hear that other devotees or senior devotees are saying, you must change your nature. Or until this person changes their nature, then, you know, they're going to be a problem. But it's impossible to change their nature. That's not the correct understanding. The correct understanding is you have to purify your nature. That's the thing. You can't change it. You have some gold ore. It's not very useful. So then you say, well, this is useless. You have to change the nature. So we'll turn it into, you know, some plastic or it has to be gold. But we can purify it and get the gold, the impurities away from the gold, so we just have the pure gold. Then you can do something with it. So no quality is bad. It's a matter of if it's pure or not. Right? So then we can see is the process of purification and that attraction to Krishna, that is what will maintain qualities that are gained. Means you're going to get the quality, means qualities are already there. The conditioned qualities are already there, and they may be polluted. So then by purification, then they will manifest in a nice, pleasant way. Same quality. Someone may be very dynamic, right? Prithu Maharaj is very dynamic, but it's not a problem. He's very bold. Pariket Maharaj is bold. He just hears Kali Raj is bothering a cow. Immediately he goes out with a whole army and ready to chastise. Right? Very dynamic, very bold, very, you know, just makes quick decisions. So, but it's pure, therefore it's appreciated. Right? Someone else may have the same quality. He just hears something, he does this, that. Oh, this one's doing this, okay, then, you know, get this guy to kill him, and this one's doing that, and, you know, wipe them out here. Then we'll say, this is bad. This person is so self-centered, so manipulating, so controlling. Because it's the same quality, just impure. So the process of purification, of sadhana bhakti, and of chanting, this will purify the qualities we already have, and they will maintain the good qualities that are gained. So one must gain the qualities, and then one must maintain them. And the best way of maintaining is to take it from the... means we have... bad quality means there's an impious tinge to the present quality. You purify it by sadhana, then you bring it to the pious platform. But it's still material, but it's good. It looks, now it's the pure reflection of the spiritual culture, right? Rather than impious is the impure reflection of the, or the perverted reflection of the perverted reflection, right? So the perverted reflection in the material world of the spiritual culture means everything's there, the culture's there, but the perversion is that we're God instead of Krishna God. We're the enjoyer instead of Krishna. But it looks the same. Then we pervert it again where it doesn't even look like the proper, you know, spiritual or Vedic standard. So by sadhana we'll purify and get to that platform where the qualities are good, pious, nice, well-behaved, everyone appreciates. But if we want to maintain them for a long period, then we have to develop spiritual taste and attachment. Because then that will then invoke it from the natural quality from the soul, rather than that you're just purifying the mind, intelligence, and ego. You invoke that from the soul. Therefore, the devotee is said to automatically have all the qualities of the demigods. Right? So that means the more serious they are, the more those qualities, because they're coming from their own nature of following the transcendental, eternal culture of the spiritual world. Right? So both these things must be done. How to develop our love for Krishna, right, on the positive side, and how to give up our attachment to the material nature on the other side. Therefore, always remember Krishna and never forget. These two activities must always be performed. Endeavors that will make us remember Krishna, and endeavors, or the sadhana, that will make us give up our forgetfulness. Is that okay? Okay, very good, thank you. Okay, so then, anything else? Otherwise we'll end now. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainita Gaur Premanandi. Thank you.